Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
It is 10:44. It is Thursday, the 26th of October, and Sophie Weiss is sitting in front of me. She usually comes in here to talk about conspiracy theories, but today she's doing something a bit different. And to prove that, she's brought a friend. Hello.
I have a friend.
Hello. You have a friend!
I made this friend, Dave Rudden.
I made from clay.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. Good
How
morning.
Are you? Author, yes? Dave. You're very welcome to the show, and you are united by your love of horror.
Yes.
Yeah, a totally normal thing to bond over.
Totally normal. Completely gore. Normal. He was just telling me outside how he harmed a young child this week with a terrifying story.
Was it your own?
It was your own child.
No, he's fine. I told a story in a school yesterday and a kid fainted. And I feel real bad because that kid's, like, he was fine afterwards. But I do think he's going to have some hard questions to answer to his peers when he wakes up. So
you're the one who should be answering hard questions.
How bad was this story?
It's a pretty bad story.
Brief outline, everybody will want to know.
So my friend Cormac, I hope you're not listening, he had stomach surgery when he was 16 and the doctor told him to stay perfectly still for 2 months, but Cormac got bored 2 days in, as 16 year olds do, so decided to walk to the shop. A guy pulled a knife on him, said, "Give me your phone." Cormac had quite a lot of knives over the last few days and goes, "No," and grabs the knife off him by the blade, throws it away. The mugger rallies admirably and punches Cormac in the stomach. All of his stitches split.
Oh.
And Cormac goes, "Now look what you've done." And the guy just runs for it. And it goes on from there. It gets more graphic as it goes on. But then I just notice this kid swaying like a reed in the audience. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
Insurance is going to be a thing. And then he just like keeled over.
Okay. So. But this is your thing. You love this.
I do enjoy most of the kids.
Scary.
If a big enough percentage of the other kids enjoy it, it probably works out fine.
Oh yeah. I think that's a sign of a very good story. Well told.
Yes.
Sure. People were fainting in the aisles when The Exorcist came out.
This yes. is it.
Famously.
Yes.
So, you know.
It was a physical review of my work, basically.
But your story is very real. You know what I mean? It's very, very real. Your poor friend Cormac.
Sounds like such a legend.
It's not even the best Cormac story. We could do a whole thing on him.
I love
Maybe we'll do next year on Cormac.
That'd be great.
Is Cormac, like yourselves, is he a fan of HorrorCon, which is on Saturday, November 11th at DCU? Let's talk about this. Is your baby, your horror baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when did it kick off? This surely isn't the... Well, how long has this been going? Tell me everything.
This is the first HorrorCon.
This is the first?
Yes.
Yeah. This is surprising for me.
I know. Okay, so we have Comic-Con in Ireland.
Yes,
and
we know that.
I've done a lot of legwork on the internet to figure out if I can claim this. I think we're the first dedicated HorrorCon.
Okay.
And like, we're a nation of horrible, misery-loving people.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that it's taken until 2023, 11th of November, Saturday, up in DCU Drumcondra, to have our first HorrorCon. And we've got... amazing lineup. So basically, this is in conjunction with the School of English in DCU, because I'm their writer in residence mm-hmm. this year, and Dave is also in residence.
Yeah,
in DCU.
They had me in last year, and they can't get rid of me.
Yeah.
They need a crowbar.
Yeah, but I love that. You know, we went out for coffee with the head of English, Keith, and we were like, "What's cooking?" And then by the end of the coffee, the three of us were like, "So we're doing this. We're going to have panels on gore, and we're going to have a screening of a horrible movie, and all these amazing
Texas
horror writers.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you're going to show."
Yeah.
Which is inexplicably Sophie's comfort film.
It is my comfort film.
That's your comfort film,
yeah.
Which is weird because you mentioned The Exorcist. When me and my friend used to come in for a night out at 3 o'clock in the morning, we put on The Exorcist. That
oh
was our comfort film.
Why?
And I don't know. And she used to fall asleep in the middle of it and I would just like crawl on the walls. Okay, so why Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Why that one?
Oh.
Of all the horrors you could have picked to show, what is it about that movie?
I do think it's truly the best horror movie made.
It's like a fever dream. I watched it. I've never had a film make me feel more sweaty and uncomfortable.
Grimy.
And just, yeah, it's very textured and tactile, and it's not like, it's ugly. It's an ugly movie, like top to bottom, and there's something really powerful about that.
Mm. And like, I enjoy watching, I'm like TTCM, with newbies, because it's such an absolute punch in the face in terms of like what's about to happen to this person. So I think maybe there's like, I'm getting a kind of a two-way enjoyment of like, I love this film. And then I also love watching this film absolutely
faint.
Demolish people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so scary. But then like, I just love the kind of... you know, it's kind of the inversion of the usual home invasion trope. So, you know, the way we got home invasion movies, you know, you got Jodie Foster in the panic room, blah, blah, blah. But in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the innocent victims are the home invaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they invade the home of this quite disturbed family. And they really get their comeuppance.
Okay. So I've never seen it. So
curiosity. Oh, well, you got to come.
I got to go and watch this.
Be guided through this house of horrors with Sophie.
Do you know how Toby Hooper, the director, came up with the idea for Texas Chainsaw Massacre? It's my favourite story. It's very relatable. He was out doing Christmas shopping, buying the presents for his own family. And he was like in a mall in America and it was like jammers. It was just like Dove Ladini. And he was looking at this kind of display of chainsaws on the wall. And he was like, now that'd be a way to get through this crowd.
Have we all been there?
Really?
I'm not sure. That's a...
So that's where Texas Chainsaw Massacre was born.
I can feel and I can see your love of horror movies. How do you feel about the new recruits? Because obviously, like, Halloween used to be just like a night thing. Now it's a whole month celebration and we're all kind of getting into it. You know, all these new recruits. Are you happy about that? Or are you like, we're old school?
Oh, no, we welcome them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't love Christmas things going up in August, but Halloween is my Christmas.
Okay.
Like, half the reason I had a child was so we could do matching costumes, which is just like melts my heart. So no, I'm like Halloween is... Because there's so many different ways to be scared.
Yeah.
Like, there's gentle, warm, kind of cozy horror. There's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's a spectrum rather than just like being scared.
Yes.
You know? And we have that, like people go on roller coasters. There is that thrill. That's another word for fear. It's just being thrilled.
But that's why this is so great. Horror, because it's specifically about people who like that kind of thing. And there are people who just love this kind of thing. But looking back at the old movies like Texas Chainsaw, what's it? Texas Chainsaw Massacre? You gave it the abbreviated term there.
TCM.
It's a lot easier. Have horror movies got better over the years, if you compare it to the horror movies being made now and then back in the 80s and 90s, how far have we come or have they got any better? What do you think?
I think they have. This is controversial. What do you think?
I mean, so I'm a sucker for practical effects. My favourite horror movie is The Thing, which I think it's 1984. And it's even more impressive when it's all done with like rubber and plastic and like corn syrup. And that's sort of like, there's a level of artistry there that I don't think CGI, which you see a lot of now, can ever replicate.
And those ones are very tactile, those kind of older horror movies that have that kind of like puppets and... puppets makes it sound funny, but it's, you know, with that thing of like the eyeball in the cup and it and stuff like that. Yeah, I know what you mean. And what do you think? So,
but today's horror, there are so many really clever horrors that are built around showing you a lot less. And there's kind of a...
Yes.
Like, I call it like competency porn, where it's like, you know, it's horror that you watch and afterwards you're like, would I be able to figure my way out through that? Like, It Follows, I think, is a classic modern movie where you're given a set of rules for the monster and you can't help but think afterwards, would I be able to navigate my way through that? And it's kind of a puzzle horror, which I quite like as well. So I think horror nowadays is very, a lot of it is very smart, which I like. But I think nothing kind of beats...
The artistry, like you said.
And the raw, unfinished nature of some of the early ones.
Yeah. What do you think about giving trigger warnings on these movies?
That's funny. We actually have a panel at HorrorCon talking about content warnings.
Okay.
It's called No Alarms and No Surprises. And we talk all about this because obviously like trigger warnings in the horror landscape is a very different kind of game to trigger warnings in any other kind of like in drama or something like that.
Yeah.
So like for me, I've written a horror novel and I saw one person, it's called Where I End, it's great, it's in shops. And I saw one reviewer, because especially in online reviews, they're more often given content warnings than say in the paper, they won't give a trigger warning. And I saw one person be like, it'd be faster to say what content warning isn't attached to this book. And I thought that was really funny and interesting. And I think with horror, like I have put warnings on other novels I've written.
Mm-hmm. But people should
know. In different genres.
Yeah.
But I kind of think in horror, it's like.
It's expected.
All bets are off,
all
guys.
Bets are off. Okay. Yeah. Is that what it is for you? That buzz, that thrill is you really don't know what you're going to get. And I'd be interested to know, and people are texting in, have you always loved horror? Like, when did you discover that this was your genre.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been demented. I used to like, sneak downstairs with my parents because my parents were quite strict on what I was allowed to watch. Didn't care about what I read. So I read Dracula when I was 8. And I was like, what's a bodice? What's happening? But I used to sneak downstairs, plug headphones into the back of the TV and watch horror movies like 2 inches from the screen, which absolutely explains what's wrong with me as a person. But I think it's because I write like for young people and there's a lot of content and trigger warnings there. And I think for me, it's always about, is what you're showing the kid going to take them out of the story completely and make them forget they're even reading a book? And like, sometimes it's good to know what provinces you're skirting, I guess, so you can be prepared. So you don't, I mean, you want the person to read the story. You don't want them to be completely flung out of it by something. I think there's a difference between horror and just being startled or shocked. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you throw a puppy at me, I'm startled, but I'm not scared. And I think one of the things you see in modern horror now is there's a lot of horror that shows you the ghost and lets you sit and look at it. And it's not horror built around surprise. It's horror built around having to sit with a terrible thing.
Yes.
And I kind of quite like that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What very about you? What's much. Your horror person origin story?
Oh, well, very basic. Just like Goosebumps was the on-ramp. Loved Goosebumps, the series of books by R.L. Stein. Okay. And now I'm trying to like hothouse my children into liking Goosebumps. And I know I'm just going to start getting impatient and being like, look, forget it. I'll just read you The Exorcist. And then like I straight on to Point Horror. The Exorcist I read when I was really
so
young.
Wow.
Loved The Exorcist. I remember reading it in class under the table and getting really paranoid that other people in the vicinity, this is a very niche paranoia, other people in the vicinity would be able to hear my thoughts, think they were my own thoughts, and think I was really messed up. And to the point where I was like, maybe I should put this book on the table so people can tell
that yeah.
thinking
reading.
These thoughts by myself. Yeah. But then, of course, I grew up and started thinking all of a whole other set of really bizarre thoughts. I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was very young, and I watched
How
it with
old
my
is
dad.
Young?
I think I was about 11 or 12. And I remember it was on Channel 4 late at night. You know the way Channel 4, all bets were off on Channel 4.
You know what you were getting.
It was Eurotrash and then everything was fair game. And I remember my dad was a big film fan and he was like, oh, we have to watch this. It's fantastic. It's a classic of the movie genre. And I was like, okay. And then he fell asleep halfway through and left me alone with the chainsawing. And it was great. I was hooked. Totally hooked.
Well, look, where can people who want to be terrified out of their minds. Where can they get tickets? Are they still able to go?
Absolutely. Tickets are on Eventbrite and you can just search up All Hallows HorrorCon.
Okay.
We've got a panel about gore. We've got a panel about content warnings. We've got an interview with
Ricochet.
Lee Cronin.
Yes, Lee Cronin,
yeah.
He's just directed Evil Dead Rise, mm-hmm. which is the
latest. Gore-tastic.
My God. Like, we've got two film directors at the HorrorCon. They're both doing horror in, like, brilliantly different ways. Like, talk about Kate Dolan does You Are Not My Mother, which is on Netflix, and anyone looking for something terrifying to watch in the spooky season, catch up with that. Lee's film is on Netflix as well. But, like, Lee is, like, it's bombastic. It grabs you by the neck, and it just shakes you around for 2 hours. And then like Kate's is like creeping, insidious, unsettling. And she deploys this kind of body horror, like really kind of with precision that's like, ugh. So those are our two directors. And then we have some amazing horror writers. We've got Sarah Davis Goff. We've got Connor Habib. We've got me.
Yes, Sophie White. You've got Tisha
Bowes. Would you believe I programmed myself?
Yeah, of course. First name on the billet, I think, with like some stars around it. We didn't get.
Yeah, and Aoife and Martin and I are going to discuss Texas Chainsaw Massacre before we introduce the movie. And we've got the Creep Dive podcast.
Yeah, famous podcast. The Creep
Dive. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, it's great.
We encourage
it's a
costumes.
Whole day. Yeah, yeah. We're going to entertain you all day long in costumes, tea, coffee, wine, snacks.
Yeah.
Did you say wine?
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be wine. Oh, you got to have wine for a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'm sold.
Even Leatherface sat down himself with a glass of Pinot Grigio at the end of the day, you know?
But he was exhausted.
Yeah.
Self-care.
It sounds amazing. And just lastly, it is obviously everybody go to HorrorCon. But if people want to watch a little movie now on Friday with their partner, they're obviously going to go to the HorrorCon to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. What else would you recommend?
Oh, well, definitely those two we just mentioned, yeah. Both on Netflix.
Okay. Hole in the Ground by Lee Cronin as well. That was his first feature, which is just, again, like, Evil Dead Rise is like all gore all the time. Hole in the Ground is slow and psychological. It's a Shona Kersley. It's almost, it's a one-woman
yes.
film, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
she's phenomenal. So, yeah, anything by our gorgeous directors, basically.
Okay, and you can go and check them out at HorrorCon. Sophie, Dave, thanks for popping in.
Your pleasure.
And scaring the bejesus out of us all.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.